You're about to listen to a message by Reverend Yomi Kasali of Foundation of Truth Assembly. May the word you hear bear fruit in your heart now and always.
Now, I started teaching series in the morning on leadership. This series for the fortification service is equally on leadership. However, we're taking a look at leadership from a different perspective. We'll be considering leaps of faith. We're looking at Bible heroes, leaps of faith, what I call zero to hero moments. Because there's so many people that do not know that God can change their lives just like that. Just like that. Just like that. Zero to hero moments. And to do that well, we'll consider, Pastor Pedro, four lives, four biblical models. And for all women, because it's meant for women, this message is for women. And picking leading ladies in scriptures, leading ladies of the Bible, leading ladies of the Bible. Because again, most people tend to think women are zeros that may not be heroines ever. So we want to make heroes or heroines out of women. So we'll take four women. Today I'll be speaking from the life of Ruth. Next week somebody else will preach from the life of Esther. Ruth, pathway to finding Boaz. And I wish my daughter were in service today, Sandra, because this word is for her. She should go and get the word if she's not in church for this service. Because most women don't even know how to find that breakthrough. And your breakthrough is walking on the field, and you can't tell who owns that field. I'm just going to share scriptures with you from the life of a woman. And the reason that woman's name is in the Bible, of course, is because she became the grandmother of David. Because she gave birth to a man called Obed. And Obed gave birth to Jesse. Jesse gave birth to David. So we're going to look at this woman's life and try as much as possible to learn some biblical truths from that life. Two, next week we'll check Esther. And that for me is road to Shushan, the palace. Everybody wants to get to the palace in life. I don't know about you, how many women don't like palace. I like palace. Palace is a place of promotion, a place of elevation, a place of lifting, a place where everybody prays to get to someday. So how do I get there? How do I get to my palace? There are many palaces for us. How do you play the politics to get to palace? We'll look at Abigail, and I think Pastor Pedro is taking Abigail and Rahab, I think. Abigail, how to save your future. And Pastor P said he will be preparing a great sermon for that. And we're going to get this house filled for that sermon. It's called, to me, the art of negotiation. How do you negotiate your future without you even knowing it? How did Abigail negotiate with David not to crush or ruin a family? And at the same time, even though the man was very brutal to her, she could still save her present without knowing she was investing in her future. She's not going to David knowing fully well that David will be her husband to be. She just said, let me go and negotiate with this guy so that the current man that is brutal against me will not die. Many people today will go and kill their own husbands with David. Will say, come. I'll show you how to come in at night. I'll show you how to come and stab him. She went there negotiating. They said, don't come and crush the innocent with the guilty. At the same time, she came back home and said, look at you, useless man. You better go to bed. Let's see what will happen. She allowed God. And God had to fight. She allowed God to fight the battle. Many of us try to fight those battles ourselves. I'm doing Ruth today. We'll do Esther next week, road pathway to the palace. We'll do Abigail the other week. And finally, the last person that many people would not like us to speak of as a leading lady. And we'll pick that. That's Rahab, the prostitute. How dirt can be clean. I have been studying the life of Rahab many years now. How dirt can be clean. Many of us don't see the clean in dirt. You know, she's dirty, she's filthy, and we throw them out. But God used a dirty vessel called Rahab, the prostitute. How dirt can be clean. You'll be shocked at the vessels God will use. And we know what she did, and we know what happened subsequently. But today, let's take a costly look at the life of Ruth. I was telling Pastor Trial a few weeks ago or days ago that I had to preach a sermon on the ruthless church. Less of Ruth. Ruthless. Not ruthless, but ruthless. How we've come to have less of the virtues of Ruth. Ruthless church. Ruthless church. So this is not ruthless as one word, but Ruth hyphen less. And that's my concept today. So open your Bibles to Ruth chapter 1, verse number 16. Ruth chapter 1, verse 16. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you or to return from following after thee." This is very powerful. "For where you go, wow, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. By the way, your people shall be my people," meaning there were two peoples. "Your God shall be my God." Now that's not what excited me the most in all the entire passage. It's that 17 I love. Because when you go to this point, where you die, actually, I will die. I understand where you go, I will go. Where you dwell, I will dwell. Which one is where you die? I will die. Ah, come, come, come. That is a powerful statement. "And there will I be buried." Hey! Commitment and loyalty defined. You cannot find a better definition of the word commitment and loyalty. Where you go, I'll go. Where you dwell, I'll dwell. Where you lodge, I'll lodge. Your people are my people. By the way, where you die, I'll die. I want to be buried beside you. Look, if Ruth were to be living today, so me and I will sit and say, "Naomi jazzed Ruth." Am I right? That's jazz. But it doesn't make sense, but for a woman, maybe you know the story. Let me tell the story briefly, because I have just 30 minutes to preach to someone. The story is this. There was a woman called Naomi. Naomi meant by root, means pleasant. Naomi left a land because of bread and went to a strange land called Moab with her husband and two sons. Three men in her life. The two sons married local ladies, local girls, local babes. Like you leave in Nigeria to China, leave in Nigeria to Gambia, leave in Nigeria because of inflation to Canada. You now marry Canadian ladies, white. And now, when after a while, Joel, the husband died. Oh no, sad story. Oh, it's okay. Men die before their wives. Most men historically tell us that. So wives bury men, their husbands, not husband bury wives. Then, women, two children, two sons died. Husband died, two sons died. How many of you can tell me what kind of woman is that woman? Namwinch. Namwinch, oh, Namwinch. African context, we will put that woman out as a woman that is cursed. Nobody should have anything to do with her. A woman whose husband died and two sons died. I'm yet to see a bishop that will encourage anybody to follow that woman in Nigeria today. And it's not so in the Bible. Maybe you don't get it. The husband died. The two sons died. What kind of a woman is that? Witch! You are liar. You are a witch. That's what deliverance preachers, pious, will say to you. They will say, "In my place, Ujula Soka." Am I right? Can that be normal? Yet, she now said, "I think I'm a witch. Something may be wrong with me." She packed her bags. "Let me go back to my home." Then the two daughters-in-law came and said, "Mama, we are going with you. But our own culture in Moab, when we married those boys or those men, we married you." And the woman now told them the truth. "Listen, let's be reasonable together. Look at how old I am today. The culture says to us that you have to wait for me to grow up, to remarry. if I remarry, to give birth to children. Those children will now grow up to marriageable age to be able to marry you. Are you willing to wait another 40 years, 20, 30 years? By the way, I'm too old. I doubt if the womb that I have on the inside can give birth to children. Listen. Reasonably speaking, there is no hope. Somebody say no hope. Say no hope. There is no hope for both of you to have seeds anymore. Please, don't deceive yourself. I think what that woman said is just normal and reasonable. It's what any pastor will counsel a member to do. Say, come. The company you are working in has collapsed. The people say they don't like you. You still say you want to stay with the MD. Are you okay? The company has collapsed. What are you still doing there? Resign or move on your own. The reason you are there is no more existing. Why are you still there? Even MGI, companies are not folded up. People are leaving you when you are in crisis. How much more those that are not folded up, you are in crisis? They will desert you. Because we do not teach the right virtues anymore. We are ruthless. We are ruthless. We are less of the virtues of Ruth. So one of the two wives or daughters-in-law, Orpah said, oh, mama, what you have said is right. You know, I love you. I love you. But I love myself also. And there's nothing wrong with me loving myself more than you. It's only scriptural. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as. That is what the Bible calls what? The great commandment. But what Jesus practiced is different too. Because Jesus loved the neighbor more than himself. What we do is we love our neighbors less than ourselves. You didn't get it. Three different levels. One, I love you less than I love me. Two, I'm supposed to love you as I love me. Three, I love you more than I love me. This one, only Jesus could have done it. That is what led him to Christ, to the cross. For he gave his life for his friends. Me, I cannot give my life for you, Osage. I love you, but I cannot die for you. If you like, say I'm not a pastor. I will not lie. I'm not Jesus. I cannot die for you. I can die for you, but not you. Two, I love you as myself. Three, I do not love myself more than you, frankly. I love you. I want you to be happy as I'm happy. But this is what the people without Christ do. This is what Christians should do. This is what Jesus and Matthias can do. And people like Chikwedu, they want to say, Lord, take me to this level. Me, I don't have the grace yet. For some, to go and die for some. This level, it takes you to be even be born again to get to this level. Am I right? To get here, it takes me born again. This one, you are born against. You're not even born at all. This one, boss, you are born again. This one, praise God. So Ruth, if you look at the three, Ruth was not doing this or this. Ruth was getting to that point. Ruth, I will show you that Ruth loved more than herself. Ruth was not normal. Ruth was not normal. That woman called Ruth, I will write a book on her. She was not normal. That woman, the virtues she had, the way she lived, I don't understand it. Opa, her sister, stayed here. Mama, what you have said is right. I will go my way. I bid you well, Mama. God will help you. God will stay with you as you go back to your hometown. She went back. It's called lip service. Verse 14. But Ruth said, no, I will cleave to you. In verse 16, I'm going to go anywhere with you. Cleave unto Naomi. When she said, where you die, I will die. That is the height of it all. Where you are buried, Abba, I will put in my will, let them bury me there. What kind of a person was Ruth? Then she now got to the town Bethlehem, Judea. And they got there. They called her pleasant. They said, call me Mara. Don't call me Ruth and Naomi anymore. Look at how I went away full. I came back empty. Everything I had when I left is gone. But you have Ruth. Oh, Jesus. Osage, so many of us consider ourselves empty. yet we do not know the prophet of Ruth by our side. Because when you see the person you have, you still consider yourself empty. I'm not more empty because I have Wally Jenkins on my side. That's a Ruth. So because we don't look around to see the values of the Ruth standing by us. We only consider the things that are ephemeral, the things that are financial, the things that are peculiary, and say, oh, I am empty. You don't know that you have all Luchi by your side, you're not empty. To have Chiamaka Joel standing by you, you're not empty. Because you are only judging yourself with your sons and your husband. But there's some people right beside you that are more than 10 sons. Give me Ruth chapter 4, verse 15. You will see that what Ruth was to Naomi was more than 10 sons. We measure ourselves to the things that are tangible, and it shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, a nourisher of thy old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, is better than thee. Now what? Do you know how many people today arrive on my side and I do not know that they are far better than me, having 7 sons of my own? Why? The power of relationships. I'm going to tell you 5 things that Ruth had that we don't have. And that's why, be careful of people that don't value relationships. Run from them. Relationships. People that don't value relationships. I've known some of you here for 20 years. And I've known them for 6 months or 8 months. And I see that all they come after you for is what you have. Is what you can give them. What they can get from you, Sumi. Nothing. The moment that thing goes, they say, bye-bye. It's not that to you. They don't value relationship. Ruth stood there. Ruth stood there. I'm not going to go. The woman said, are you okay? There's no hope for you. I can't have children for again. Said, ma, I'm not here for what I can get. Here, I know you need me more. I need to give you more. You're a good woman. You are going through hell more than me. You're going through more pain than me. I cannot sleep. I'll to abandon you. I will not abandon you. Ah, look at what you have 2 sons, a husband, anybody. I will not leave you. Others may. I will not. Now, he said, what kind of person is this? Because Ruth was looking at it from a different angle. Others look at it, Pedro, from their own pocket. Abi, not saying, this man needs me more. This man needs me more. Because there was a time, everything was smooth. I had my husband with her. We were enjoying everything with him before disaster struck. How can I not now abandon her? It's unfair. It's not right for me to now abandon. When everything was smooth, okay, he gave me money. She gave me money. We were eating. Now that things are tough. Because tough times test our love for ourselves. Tough times reveal the real character behind you and I. I don't know you and I'm going through a tough time. That tough time will tell me if you are with me or not. At the cross of Calvary, only one person stood there. Everybody deserted him. Only John was there. All his apostles that ate with him that night were nowhere to be found. And you ate with him. And you ate with him. And you ended up, bam! You disappeared. Bam! You ran. That was what gave back that. And we are studying the life of that woman today. So we can learn some lessons, Pastor Pedro. That how can the pleasant person become bitter? And then Ruth becomes a beautiful one. How can I have, oh God, the virtues, oh Lord, help me, and the values of Ruth in my life. Lord, help me to be able to stand by someone out there. Give me a Naomi that I've taken from before and I can give back to. Because the world is all about taking, not giving. Gideon, someone that has been of blessing to me before, I want to be of blessing to him back. That's Ruth. But you see, we teach and preach motivational preachers to be selfish and not selfless, to always grab and not take, to always receive and not give, to always think about me and not you. We call it self-motivation, self-inspiration, self-this, not selfless motivation. Self, not selfless. Everything is self. And what struck me, Pastor Tonayo, was when Ruth now got there to the house. Watch me. Ruth now got to the place with Naomi. They went to the house. Come, Naomi is an old woman. How do we now eat? Modern day Ruth will say, Mama, I even left my town, came here. Find a way of feeding us now. Mommy, sit. Lola, she said, Mommy, sit. I will go and glean the fields. You know what gleaning means? To scavenge for food. To pick off the remnant. The harvesters go to field. They go and harvest. When they're harvesting their crops, the barley, the corn, the wheat, the little things that falls down while they're harvesting, all those crumbs, people now come to start scavenging. That's what they call glean. So you'll be picking from the other one. I will take a basket. I'll go and glean the field. Oh, Jesus. That woman called Ruth was not normal. She did not know Jesus. She was a Moabite. She was not a born again. She was not a Jewess. Moabite. I will go and clean the fields. For who? To feed you, Mama, and I. So we can, not only would I become the breadwinner, I will support you. Watch me, watch. You know your enemy. Listen to me. This was a hopeless woman. No potential. So it's not like I'm serving because I know this person will give me something. There's not, I'm not expecting anything back in return. Oh, you don't get it. So it's not, she's not, not that maybe then after I grin for you, you will automatically become miraculously become pregnant. And your child will grow in 5 years, will become 40 years. So it was a seriously hopeless situation. So what kind of a woman was Ruth? What virtues and values and principles did she live by that we live by today? Or we just think, Reverend, what you are preaching is strange. You only have Ruth once in 1,000 years. No, there's no more Ruth in town. All the Ruths have disappeared. Maybe Mother Teresa, maybe she was the last Ruth that came to humanity. You know, she must be an angel because nobody thinks like that. And she came and she went to glean the fields. And that's where I'm going to. And on that day, she accidentally, or by divine ordination, gleaned the field of a man called Boaz. And Boaz happened to be a member of the family of Naomi's husband, former husband, ex-dead husband. And in the Jewish culture, there's something called kinsman redeemer. A member of your family, meaning kinsman, that can redeem you from shame. So when you get to a shameful circumstance or situation, one person in your cousin, my uncle, to be put down into history as done, I would cut off some of my own inheritances. I will buy off your shame. And that buying off is called redemption. I would redeem you from this public shame disaster so that I will cover your nakedness. So this woman did not know. Ruth did not deliberately go to Boaz to say, Boaz, I'm here. She just went to walk the fields. And I asked people, young ladies who give husbands, go and walk the fields. You never can tell if your kinsman redeemer is going to be there on that day. You never can tell the field you'll be walking on next month. Just find something to do. Do not go to the fields looking for kinsman redeemer, but just go walk the fields. Just do what is right and what is sacrificial. You can never tell if that usher looking at you the next Sunday will be your husband next year. I say, who is this girl? Always in church first, last to leave, always cleaning the chairs. I like this lady, pastor. Who is she? I'm interested in her. And nobody knows that usher just came from the U.S., American citizen, and she just got a job in Nigeria from Oracle. He's earning, God knows, 6 figures. And he just came to your church like an usher, not knowing how wealthy, how solid, how sound, how rich. And it could just be your kinsman redeemer. And you are almost 40. And he says, I don't care. I like this kind of woman to birth my children for me. I like this to be the mother of my children. Why? For she's industrious. She says the person, but sir, she's not a graduate. I don't care. But sir, she's Igbo Yoruba. I don't care. She's Moabite. You are Jewish. Regardless of her tribe, I like the values and the virtues that she has. I want her to be my wife. People don't walk the fields anymore. And yet, we pray, God, like kinsman redeemer, kinsman redeemer. Where did she find kinsman redeemer? On the field. Not in the prayer house. On the field.
on the field, on the field. Don't work the fields. There's so many fields begging for workers. So many fields begging for greeners. So many fields. Oh, you make the mistake. You miss me. You miss it. I didn't say go and be the harvester. Because the harvesters were working the fields. The reapers were working the fields. But guess what? They are paid to do so. Not paid. She went to glean the fields. So those other guys working the field being paid is different. So if you say, yeah, I'm working in MTN, and that's my field. No, that is your work. We are paying you salary to do that one. What you do, Pedro, for somebody else, not expecting anything back in return. Then I'm speaking about working the fields. Am I communicating? Are you hearing me? Because the fields are begging for workers, not harvesters. We have those we pay to work the field in MTN, in Zenith. I say, Pastor, I'm working the field. No, you are working. They are paying you to harvest. That's your job. Ruth was not paid. She just went to work the field. For who? For Naomi. For Naomi, all she wanted was to make sure this woman is okay. I don't want her in pain. What kind of a woman was Ruth? Very rare. Am I communicating? You can't find Ruth in modern day church. No. Yet you find Ruth in the Bible, but we can't find Ruth in the church. There's something wrong with what we preach if we don't have people that have Ruth anymore in our midst. And everything we do has to be financially rewarded. And we are the roots. That's why we have homes breaking, lives being crushed, ladies tempting men in the church. Oh Lord, give us roots. I don't want to pastor a ruthless church. Can I say it again? I don't want to pastor a ruthless church. I don't want my Christians to become ruthless Christians. I don't want members of this church to become ruthless believers. We must have the virtue. We must be ruthful. Oh God, we must be ruthful, not ruthless. Put your hands together, everybody. Put your hands together for Jesus. I have a few more minutes. So let me quickly share with you. I'll share four verses for you with you. I've shared the first verse and the second verse that tripped me in the entire book of Ruth. In chapter 1, you find Ruth dedicated to Naomi and commitment redefined. In chapter 2, you find Ruth serving on the field of Boaz. In chapter 3, you find Ruth resting at the bosom of Boaz. Because where she served, she ended up resting. Jesus, help me. Where you serve is where you shall rest. Where you serve is where you shall rest. She rested at the bosom of Boaz. You know why? Because she was serving on the field of Boaz. Many of us don't know that we shall only find rest at the place of service. Many of you don't serve, want to be served. No wonder if rest eludes you all your days. Where you serve is where you shall find rest. She rested there. She put herself because they told her how to do it. And I will tell you how. Because she listened to counsel of Naomi. She didn't tell Naomi, you are the one counseling me. Let that shut up. You know, you lost your husband and your children. What good can come out of you? Because Naomi said, I have a culture here. When you see tomorrow, just go to the place. Submit yourself to the faith. Then she will cover you. It will cover you. And then both of you can strike a deal. Of course, in chapter 4, Pastor Pedro, the first three chapters became a reward. Ruth rewarded by Boaz and married Ruth. So chapter 1, dedication and commitment. This is what is lacking in today's church. Commitment, dedication, loyalty. We don't have loyal people anymore. Whoa, loyalty? We don't have, people are just loyal to their bellies. Their loyalty is connected to their bellies. Gina said, I bleed as I speak. I believe as I speak, people are no more loyal. Loyalty cannot be defined anymore. Loyalty, commitment to something, to a cause, to a person, even if it is a hopeless situation, commitment. Because I just painted to you the picture of Naomi that Ruth was committed to. Committed to. Totally committed to. Totally committed to. And then chapter 4, she was rewarded. Chapter 1 verse 16 is a verse that explains dedication and commitment. chapter 2, verse 12 is the verse, is the prayer verse of Boaz in the scriptures that explains what service. Chapter 3, verse 5 is the verse of submission to Naomi's counsel. You can find it. I've told about this. Your people shall be my people. And chapter 4, verse 15. That's my best verse. That's my best verse. It's a verse of reward. The Lord will reward you in Jesus' name. Continue to serve. Let me quickly share with you 5 life lessons from Ruth. If you want to find your Boaz, everybody here is looking for a Boaz, a kinsman redeemer, whose meeting with you or connection with you will change your life story forever. Because Ruth's life changed, not when she met Naomi, but when she met Boaz. The Naomi without Boaz will still not change the life of Ruth. She married 2 husbands. One came through Naomi, one came from Naomi, one came connected to Naomi. I repeat, so it's your kinsman redeemer you're looking for. I'm looking for one. Someone who I will meet like this, serve, and will say, well, my life will be changed forever. Kinsman redeemer. You're on your way there. You're on your way there. And many of us miss it. You know why? You know why? The person that will connect us to kinsman redeemer, Naomi, we have abandoned. Why? We found her hopeless. You don't get it. Your kinsman redeemer, please come here, sir. Pastor Pedro, stand there. You come here. You stand there, sir. This, you come here. This is my kinsman redeemer. You face me. But the only way to get to my kinsman redeemer is through this person. This is Naomi. Because he is connected to her, not to me. We like the redeemer aspect. We ignore the kinsman. He is not my kinsman, but our own kinsman. You don't get it. The relationship he has is with the husband of this person. Are you with me? So all of us are hoping that one day bring my Boaz, my Karebo, Ekedele. Boaz, Boaz, where are you? You have ignored Naomi. You have rejected Naomi because she has no sons and no husband anymore. You've judged her hopeless. Not knowing that without sons and husband, there's still somebody called Boaz that's bigger than sons that she can give to you. And so you do not understand, because when we serve what we call calculating service. We sit there and try to create our own future. But this man cannot give anything anymore. Look at him, he's broke, he's poor. Nothing good is old. Nothing good can come from him. My own kinsman redeemer in ministry was one man called Papa Orebayo. He connected me to my bishop, Michael Kunkwa. But he was one that ordained me into ministry when everybody abandoned me. Oh, the man, before the man died, I was older, I was richer, I was bigger, I was supporting my father in the Lord. But I did not judge with the seeing of the eyes. I served him till he died. I served him till he died. I did not look at, I need Bishop Oyedepo. Oh, there was other bishops that came to meet me. I didn't see them as kinsman redeemer. I didn't see them. I just said, this man has done me no wrong. I will keep serving this man. Because one day, he will be connected to somebody. And I didn't even know. I was not serving because I know there was a Boaz. I didn't see Boaz in the picture when I was serving this man. You don't have to see Boaz to say, can you give me Boaz? The other wife looked at her and said, what can any good come out of this Nazareth? Can any good come out of this Nazareth? Okay, how else can she be of blessing to me? Her womb is barren. Her sons are dead. Her husband is gone. She has even renamed herself Bitterness. She herself is hopeless. So, what good can come out of this one? Just imagine how many ways we judge people and we destroy our destiny. Because your destiny is connected to that one. Your destiny is connected to that one. But you do not know that the pathway to Boaz is this person. never and do not ignore Naomi. Don't judge with the seeing of the eyes. Don't judge like they judge in the world. He doesn't have a big car. He doesn't have a big house. He doesn't have a big bank account. He's useless. Nobody is useless with God. Nobody. Because that man that you think is poor in your church may be connected to one MD that will see the way he's living and is a cleaner in the company. And one day, the MD will say, take me to your church. You are a good Christian. The man that will bless your ministry can come from that poor person. And you'll be thinking, can this cleaner be of any help to this church? I'm looking for Fat Titus. Fat Titus. No, the cleaner will connect you to the Fat Titus. Treat all men right. Treasure relationships. Do not despise people. Put your hands together for Jesus. Treat men right. Kinsman, redeemer. So, the first life lesson, all of you write it down. Relationships matter in life. Pedro, I dread and I don't want to see people that destroy relationships quickly. I don't like them near me. People that don't treasure relationships, run from them. Run! They easily walk into your life and they can easily walk out of your life. What's that game? Relationships matter in life. Relationships. If you see wise men, you will measure them with how they treat people. Relationships. A young lady told me that years ago, and she's married now. I was asking her, how would you choose your husband? She said, I will see how my future husband would treat a waiter. When I go out with him to go and eat, if I see that he barks and bullies waiters, I will run, I won't marry him. I said, why? She said, sir, the way he treats the poor and the weak is how he will treat me at home at some point. Relationships. Relationships. Blessed is the man that walk not, stand not, sit not. Relationships. Relationships. There is a pastor who served in our church some years ago. And I asked him to go because he couldn't work with us anymore. But he didn't leave the church. He was still in church. And do you know, up last night, the pastor sent me a text. Daddy, sir, so is happening to my brother. My brother had an accident. I will not be in church tomorrow. I'm seeking permission. I was had tears in my eyes. Last night, I sent the text to, was it you? I sent a text to you also. I said, can you imagine? And to my PA Violet. I said, can you imagine this man? His heart is so pure, clear, still seeking permission from me. You would think the person should cut off from him. Cut off! The fact that we can't work in the office does not mean I can't bless you in life. He refused. Sweet man. There's a woman that I worked closely with in this church for years. She and her husband, they moved to Abuja. Did not even say a proper bye-bye. I laughed. I said, Abba, Abba, you don't destroy relationships like that. What's wrong with you? She sent Pastor Emil, we're looking at Abuja, and I'm going to a new church. Bye-bye. I said, bye-bye. She go to Abuja, house and has no job. They called my pastor in Abuja. Hello, sir, can we get a job? My pastor called me and said, the same person that disgraced me. Oh, you now know you have people to ask for a job in Abuja. How? One of my pastors told me this. He said, when you are leaving any relationship, don't slam the door. Close the door. My dear, you may need to knock on that same door tomorrow. Don't slam it. Close it. Because you may need to go and knock on the same door tomorrow. Because you can never say, I will never need. Oh, those that think they will never need, they're dying. You know those people, they're dying in quietness. They wish they could still come and knock, but they can't knock out. Because they not only slam the door, they barge into the door. So they're too ashamed, my darling, to come back and say, can we knock? Why? They destroyed relationships. Please, I'm teaching you the virtues of Ruth. I beg you, don't destroy relationships. Nobody can ever get up in life without relationships. And you don't know the one that is connected to your Boaz. You don't. Don't calculate and say, this one is not barren. It's barren. It's barren. Nothing good can come from it. Nothing good? Are you God to determine a relationship is barren? Are you God? No relationship is barren. That's why I don't play with relationships. Friends I've known for 30 years, I still keep in touch with them. Friends, because you don't know the one that will help you tomorrow. I called my friend, one of my friends, I've known him for 30 years. Diola, that day we called you. I said, come and eat lunch in my house. He came, he listened to me, and I watched my program on TV. He ate more than lunch. But I enjoyed the company. We had fun. I spent 4 hours with him alone, playing, discussing. Nothing, no contract, just playing. You know, just to say, Osake, come, let's play. There must be time to play. Then Pastor Pedro called me during that period. I said, Pedro, he said, oh, let me talk to him. I need his number. He had not spoken to you for a long time. I just called him, come and sit with me, let us play. Sometimes when I'm tired, the people I know and I have, I treasure them. Bishop Olale, where are you? Can we come and have fun? Yes, come, they will come here, we'll sit, we'll play, we'll eat, we'll go home. We'll go back to a different work. But relationships, Sheyi, matter. Don't throw it away. Don't rubbish it. You cannot tell, don't say it is hopeless that that person is barren. And do not build relationships on convenience and money. Ruth loved Naomi and didn't leave her even when the going was tough. Naomi spoke reason, but truth. Ruth defied the voice of reason. I'm not going to leave you. The relationship Ruth had was unreasonable in natural terms. Because it doesn't make sense. Number two, Ruth decided to serve instead of being served. Number one is relationship, life lessons. Number two, service. It's a field work that reveals service, not housework. Oh, you missed that. It's a field work that reveals service, not housework. Ruth was not serving Naomi at home, but served Naomi on the field, looking for what to give to Naomi at home. True faith serves men and not served by men. Leadership and character is revealed in service. Service. Jesus said he came to serve and not to be served. Luke 22, verses 23 to 27. 23 to 27. True test of biblical model of leadership is service, not lordship. Matthew 20, verse 25 to 28. True test of biblical model of leadership is what? Service, not what? Lordship. Matthew 20, 25 to 28. So many of you may not know today, you may be walking the field of Boaz unknown to you. Continue. Boaz noticed Ruth, not Ruth noticed Boaz. Read your Bible. Pastor Tunayo, it was Boaz that said, come, who is that young lady? Of all the people, Boaz noticed Ruth, not Ruth noticed Boaz. Read your Bible. Somebody will notice you. I didn't hear amen. I didn't hear amen. Keep doing what is right. Somebody somewhere is watching. I would notice you. Do you know, somebody called me 2 weeks ago. I won't mention the person's name. Very big man. To say he has been watching me on TV. He's happy with what God is using us to do in Nigeria. Continue. Somebody sent me a text from Canada. I've not spoken with him for 5-7 years. A former bank MD in Lagos that gave me a loan many years ago to build our first church. 16 years ago or so, 17 years ago, to build that church. $80 million loan. He's left the bank. He was in Canada. He saw an article I wrote. He sent me a text. Reverend Kasali, we're very proud of you. We know what you're doing. We are watching you. The silent majority. I told you about the man. I was shocked. People are watching. Continue. The problem is we are looking for who is watching. It becomes eye service. Eye service is when you are walking. Where are you? We are watching now. It becomes what? Pastor Peter, I'm on the air. Bonjour, eye service. I'm on the air. I can see you. Ruth was just doing her own thing. And Boaz took note. Who is that young lady? From where? She has a good reputation. You know what? Guys, don't touch her. Deliberately leave more for her to glean. When you are walking, drop more, let her take home. What a beautiful man. Don't let her know. I've noticed that. People are watching you. People are watching you every day. You don't know. You don't know. You are watching your MD. Somebody else is watching you. You don't know. So people are seeing when you are sitting to slander, to gossip, to destroy people's image. They are watching you. You are losing your reputation instead of building it. Do you get it? Keep doing what you are doing, Pedro. Pedro, keep doing it. Somebody will come and be the president wants to see you. Pedro, what do you mean? Why? We've been watching you in Price Towns. We notice you. Come and take a job. You think they don't know? They know. They know. But we're just not used to being loyal. And you know, we just don't like it. God will help us. Number three, giving and loving without expecting back in return. That is the third virtue Ruth had. My time is up. Giving and loving without expecting back in return. Ruth loved Naomi selflessly and sacrificially. She served the widow without expecting a son or a husband from her. She served the widow without expecting a son or a husband. It's not sowing, but scattering. You see, there's a sowing, there's scattering. Ruth was not sowing, no. Ruth was scattering. Sowing means you are expecting back. You're just walking, just scattering. Let me just do good. Do good. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Number four. Ruth was willing to die empty. The best kind of life to live is to live for others. She said, where you die, I will die. Imagine her putting death into a commitment pledge. Imagine you having a pledge of allegiance to foot out to somebody or to God. Where you die, I will die. Not just where you live, where you die. I want to end here. What am I, going for? Where am I going for now? Where you die? I want to be there. She said it. This is a type of Jesus who died for our sins. She affirmed that only death could part their friendship. You miss that? She affirmed it. Till death do us part. That was what she was saying. Pedro, she was saying, till death do us part. Oh, what she has separated you from the love of Christ? She had persecution, she had dismay, she had poverty, she had barrenness, she had no sons, no. Oh, no! In all these things, we are more than conquerors. Till death, you and I am with you. She was saying that without even knowing it. She went to the field. That's why I love some Christians. Ah, look, let us say the truth to ourselves. Judy, I love them. If you like, fight them, hate them. They're so committed to their ministry and their churches. They're in Christ's embassy. They're in Bodju's church. Nobody can root them out or move them out. They say, this is my pastor. This is where I will die. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not saying I can't be blessed with somebody else's ministration, but this is where I am rooted. They are, you know, they're not jumping up and down. Up and down, up and down. We can't tell you today you are here. You know? They're committed. I can hear someone, but this is my house. You know, that's what commitment is. And I like them. Even though you know that they're not as strong as you are in the world, but I like their commitment, their loyalty, their dedication to something. And God will continue to bless them. But you, we don't know where you are. You are here today. You are there tomorrow. Up and down. Eh? Let go. You don't even know you'll die. You know where I will die. I've already told you I'm going to die here. Eh? So you can tell that this is where you want to end it. Now, number five, which is most important. This is the most important, Pastor Pedro. Of all the five life lessons from Ruth, she had a good reputation and a good name. I didn't notice it until I read the Bible again. Ruth chapter 2, verse 10 to 12. A good name is better to be chosen than silver and gold. Give me chapter 2, verse 10 to 12. You will see what Boaz said, what he said about Ruth. Ruth, then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said to him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger? Look at the next verse. Then Boaz answered and said unto her, listen, it has fully been showed me all that thou hast done to thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband. How thou hast left thy father and thy mother, the land of thy nativity, and art come to a people which thou knowest not at all, the Lord recompense thy good work, and a full reward be given to thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Can you imagine? Put your hands together. What a good reputation. What the man said in a nutshell is this: shh, you have a good reputation. It has come to my knowledge. What they have told me about you is amazing. The name you have in town is amazing. What people say about you is amazing. A good reputation. Look at chapter 3, verse 11. Look at chapter 3, verse 11. A good reputation. Ruth had it. Everybody knew it in town. What do they say about you in town? Chapter 3, verse 11. What do they say about you? When people mention your name, what comes to mind? Eh? And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requires. For all the city of my people does know. Eh? All of you, memorize that passage. Everybody knows that you're a good woman. You know, simple scripture but loaded. In the city, for all the city, we know what they call you in town. In the city, they say you're a good woman. What does that mean? Good reputation. What do they call you in the city? What do they call you in the city? What reputation do you have? Don't dump reputation for silver. Don't dump reputation for gold. Some of you have sold your birthright for a morsel of bread because of what you will eat. All the city, when I read it, I said, in town, people knew. All the city, all my people, they know. They won't know. Not only do I know, in chapter 2, in chapter 3, the city knows. So who wants to marry that kind of person? Stability, reputation, good name. All the city, they know that you're a good person. And so, the good name is better than silver and gold. Put your hands together for Jesus.
Thank you for listening.